Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Today is my 47th birthday. Yes. And I'm happy to be 47 and not 25 or 30. Because how many of you know we walk through some things in life? I don't want to go back. Ever, I don't want to go back. It's a privilege and it's an honor to be here tonight and speak with you and share with you. And I'm going to take a minute and tell some of you a little bit about me, because I don't know some of you, and some of you don't know me. I'm a grandmother. I have two grandchildren, and I have my three children. They're all adults, and they don't act like it sometimes, but they claim they are. But they're mine, and I come from where, the home that I come from. My father was a very, not a physical, emotional abusive person, because every day was a curse word. There was a new curse word. I learned how to curse in my home, not in the street. My mom was a woman of God, so those two combinations were, it was quite a thing to be in my home. And although my dad loves me, and I know that he loves me, and I just want to say this, I'm not saying this to say something bad about my father, because I love my dad. As a matter of fact, we have been preparing for the time, because my dad is not physically well, for somebody to take care of him. And that somebody's going to be me. And it's like we think, because of the way he has been, how is that going to go because of the way he is? And I said, it's really not a big deal. Whenever he gets active, we'll either have something to give him to calm him down, or we'll just strap him in a chair and close the door, whichever one comes first. I said, I'm real simple about things. It's not hard. But I love my dad. And I love my dad because financially, he was a provider. I remember when I was about 4 years old, I wanted to play piano that one of the kids had. I got a Kimball piano that back then cost $10,000. So my dad was a provider, and I have always been daddy's little girl. He just didn't know how to deal with me when we started growing up, when we started becoming young ladies and stuff like that. So it was easier to just curse me out and tell me, go to your room, you're not going to do it, than it was to actually speak with me. And I think about it today, and it's a great advantage, because I learned to deal with my kids. And not even the word stupid was allowed in my house. Stupid was a curse word, and it is a curse word. Sucker used in a certain way, I know it means in Florida lollipop, I had a really hard time with that, but to me it was a curse word. And they were not allowed to use it, and I didn't care what happened in Florida. But that's a little bit about me. I'm a single mom, I raised my three children by myself with God's grace and God's help, because I became saved when I was about 24 years old. Saved, that I knew that I gave my heart to God. And I had a lot to learn, and it was hard. It wasn't easy. I come from two marriages. My second marriage, I left because he tried to, he put his hands around my neck and threatened to kill me in front of my kids. And that's when I decided, we can't work on this right now. I need to get out of here. And so I did. I also come from a background of my father's family is Catholic. My father's family are into witchcraft. They do potions, they do plants, they do all this stuff to go against you, and all this hocus pocus stuff, which I say hocus pocus, but don't get me wrong, it's very real. But I thank God that I also come from a family that believes in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that believes in the anointing, that believes in the declaring, and that believes in the laying of the hands. So I don't know how many of you know, but if you're a child of God, and if you're in His Word, you have the authority to declare, to decree, and to demand. Not ask, not beg, but to demand. And I'll tell you this, we already have the victory. I'm not worried about what you're going through, and I know that sounds insensitive. A lot of people say I'm very mean or I'm insensitive. I'm not worried about your situation, because God said you already have the victory. So this is going in a totally different direction. Okay? But you do. And people like to say that I was mean with my kids because there was no ifs, no ands, no buts. When my kids came home crying because Pastor John hurt their feelings, I used to tell them, that's all right, because I don't send you to church for Pastor John. You're there for the wrong reason. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You need to focus on God. The only reason you're in church is either to unite or to implement. Okay? Sometimes we don't want to come to church, and I say we because I feel that way too, and we drag ourselves in. But here's the thing. If there's someone there, if there's an assignment, and it was your assignment, who's going to do it if you're not there? Will that soul be touched because you're busy, worried about your emotions, which we should never, ever, ever walk in? So I just truly believe that I'm a very black and white person, and if you get to know me, there is no gray. The pages are in black and white, and if it's red, it's only because Jesus spoke, and that's the most important part. And so I was listening to this preaching this morning, and she says, the enemy wants to disarm you of the very things that he knows is the power to your success. So what are those things that give us power to our success? The first thing is a very basic, fundamental thing. And the first thing that I want to tell you is that in 1 John verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. So one of the things that we find that we need in our walk, in our Christian walk, to grow, to walk, to be able to unite, even though you don't want to unite, is the Word of God. There's so many things that you cannot do that the Word of God talks about that without His Word, you can't do it. The second thing that you need once you get established with God, because God says, come as you are. If you're a thief, come on. It doesn't matter what you did. God's not interested in your past because He says that He takes all things and turns them to good for the glory of His name. So it doesn't matter where you've been, an alcoholic, an addict, a thief, whatever, a rapist, a murderer, whatever, God can turn it around. And if I'm speaking this word, I have to believe this word, correct? And I'm telling you that I believe this word because I've seen many, many people turn their lives around. I've also seen many people think that they're not enough, that they have to stay where they're at because their mom or their dad or their sisters or whatever is speaking against them because they have limitations, because there's been an accident and maybe it's limited their mind. And I'm going to tell you something. Not all the time that you walk with God would your family be on board with you. I come from a line of pastors, prophets, evangelists, and ministers all on my mom's side. And I want to thank God and I want to give him all the glory because on my father's side, the witches and all those people are starting to cross over. It took a long time. It wasn't 5 years. It wasn't 2 years. Look at Noah. When God told him to build an ark, how many years was it? I believe it was 100. 100 years, 120 years it took Noah to build an ark. So why is it that we today expect God to just say here and boom, the magic happened? What is it about the body of Christ that thinks that because they got on their knees for one day, for 5 hours, or maybe even for a year, that whatever they're praying for is supposed to come to pass? But what if God's got something more? And guess what? If he answered your prayer the way you wanted to, when you wanted to, you wouldn't get through the way he wanted you to get through. You wouldn't be able to stand the way he wants you to stand. You would not be able to do what he wants you to do. Why? Because it's not your timing, it's his. And if we don't get our answers like that, then the question isn't what's going on with God. The question is, where are we at that we're not getting what we need. See, because God says that he gives you everything you need, not everything you want. He supplies you physically, emotionally, financially. It says it in his word in so many ways. It says he's a light unto your feet. If you follow it, you'll go. So, and I looked up John 1:12, which says, yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So what does that tell you? It's a very basic principle. It's one of the very few things you learn. And when you see a preaching, I don't know if anybody's not saved here tonight, but when you see a preaching, I've heard so many pastors say, just come up front. Just pray. God will take care of it. And yes, he will. But in that moment, in that instant, when I was reading this scripture, what God is saying is, come and give it all. When you give your heart to God, it's not a process. It's you give your heart to God. When you get married, you can't say, I'm going to be a part-time husband, but on the other hand, I'm going to be over here with this one because I'm not ready to fully commit. Guess what? Don't get married. And if you're going around, you shouldn't be anyway, so just go ahead and get saved. Repent, not get saved, repent. So these are things that all entail in your walk. It entails for you first to give your heart to God. I think that the very second thing that we need to learn once we've given our heart to God is to be obedient. Because without obedience, you won't get far. You'll be able to stay in the same place you're at. You'll be able to get torn down. You'll be able to get hit. Because I got news for you. When you give your heart to God, it angers a certain atmosphere, and it's called hell. It angers him because he doesn't want you to have peace and a sound mind. It angers him because he doesn't want restoration in your life. It angers him because he doesn't want you to be healed or restored. He doesn't want you to be able to say to whoever was in your life that hurt you, in whatever way, I forgive you. Because it's a release. And it takes you to a new level. So we established two things. You need your word, and you need your obedience. You need your prayer life. Even in the Bible, when it talks about the armor of God, it talks about prayer. Guess what? If you're not in your prayer life, what communication are you having with the one that's supposed to be in charge of your life? I mean, let's be real. If you have a vehicle, would you turn it on and put it in drive and say, just go? Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to take it over. And it's so disappointing, but it's not you. It's not me, but it's him. And that's where the whole word comes in, the obedience, the prayer, and the armor, and everything, your prayer life, your walk, everything comes together. And I know that when we speak of things and we break it down for you, but basically, you cannot have one page in the Bible without the other. And that is from the beginning to the end. You can't take out the few chapters you don't like. You cannot say, well, this doesn't apply to me, because I got news for you. When you said, I do, it applied. When you said, here I am, it applied. From Genesis to Revelation, there's a spiritual side of things as well as there's a natural side of things. And it's up to you in whose backyard you're going to be. I often tell my kids, you can't play in the devil's backyard and expect a godly result. Doesn't work that way. That's not how it goes. And just because you think you got tomorrow to ask for forgiveness, I hope that's true. But from what I was known, from what I read, and from what I told, I don't know when my time is up. And that's why, from the very beginning, it should be From the very time that you've decided to accept the things of God, your thought should go into its time mode. How many people have gotten saved and died the next day? Some of us can testify to that in our very personal life with a loved one. The word unity comes to mind because the body of Christ needs to be united. We need to stand to be united. And I went into these basic concepts first because without these basic concepts, you cannot unite in the body of Christ. You can moan and groan. You can complain. You can say how things need to be done. And I love that. You know, I love when people talk about what needs to be done, but they don't want to take the leadership. They don't want to be the ones to have to do it or to implement it or to speak it. And so here we have a house, and we have a house of prayer. It's called a house of prayer. So we've established that you need your prayer. We've established that there is a war going on. And I don't know if you know it, but if you're in your word and if you're in your prayer walk, and if you're walking where God has told you to walk, it's for your life. Because the one thing that the enemy doesn't want you to do is be successful in the plans and the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. Because if you are, many will be saved. And that's kind of a problem for him. So, and when I looked up the word unity, it was very interesting to me what I found. I didn't look up in any special Bible or anything else. I just Googled it. I just put it in my computer and I wrote, what does the word unity mean? And this is what came up. And it's a very basic concept. It says unity, the state of being joined as a whole. We could say that's true. But then I kept reading another definition from another place, you know, that gives you many things that you could go to. And it says integrity, wholeness, an undivided and an unbroken completeness or totality with nothing wanting. And yet it's one of the favorite things that God has that he loves when his people do it. He loves to see his people walk in unity. It's not that you're better than me. You just may have a different position than me. It's not that I'm more than you. I just do things different because my walk is different. You can't walk through what I've walked through and catch my destiny. And I can't walk through what you've walked through and catch your destiny. Many of you have been through some things, and some of you I know on a personal level, whether it be addiction, whether it be death, whether whatever it is that you've been through, whether it be abandonment, whether it be rejection, all those things have happened to me. But I refuse to lay down and say, boo-hoo. It happened. And you know why they've happened to me? For a choice that I took action on. I didn't pray about getting married. I got married because that's what I wanted to do. I didn't ask God. And I paid my price. And today I could honestly tell you, my ex-husband, he serves God. And he's in Orlando. And we're friends. We can talk to each other without him wanting to kill me. Here's something that I'm going to tell you. If you're not in your prayer life, if you're not in your communication life with God, how do you know when something's going to take place? If you're not speaking with him, how can he talk to you? If you're not communicating with him, how can he give you the vision for the young and the dreams for the old? How can he do it? You have no link with God. And the greatest thing that I find in the church is that gossip is a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And the Pastor Gary knows, because I've come to him and I've said, Pastor Gary, I might get in trouble next week because somebody said something, and I said something back, and, you know, here we go. And Pastor Gary knows, you know, I love him. I believe that he's here. I believe his time is going to come where it's time to move on. That's awesome. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because that means that there's a new assignment. That means there's a new level. That means there's a new glory. And I believe that while he's here, we should be encouraging him. When he's wrong, we should be praying for him. When we don't like it, we should be praying for him. I don't always agree with him. And he knows. And I've come to him. And I've said, my pastor, this is this. And he's been very gracious with me. He never beat me up. He never yelled. He never told me to get out. Never dragged me out of the church. And he's just said, I appreciate your thought. So I don't believe that any man can fit what you're looking for. Because if you're looking at men, you're looking at the wrong thing. The only one that can fit what you're looking for is God. And if the person sitting next to you is incorrect in something they're doing, talk with them. And if that doesn't work, pray for them. And remember that even when you're talking to your very best friend, so it's not considered gossip or murmuring or anything else. I don't know where you got that information from, but it's incorrect. Whenever you're saying something, you need to remember, what are your choices going to be? Is it going to be life or is it going to be death? Because I don't know how accountable you think you are, but you are accountable for every action that you decide to take in your life, in your words, what you're looking at, what you're reading. I like Facebook, but some of the things that are put on Facebook, And it's my kid, some of them, that she puts on there. And I have to tell her, you need to watch your mouth. And I do it on Facebook, and then she gets mad because I scolded her. I don't care. My kids know you either get on board or you get out the way. There's no gray area for me, like I said. Do I love my kids with everything that's within me? I have given them everything that I have and everything that I am. They were raised in church, in the house of God, with the word of God. They were raised with getting whooped when they needed to get whooped, even though the sheriff might be at my door. I'm okay with it. Because as long as I go to jail knowing that I taught them what I was supposed to teach them, I'll go there too. Why not? So I found it interesting the way that the dictionary describes unity with integrity, unbrokenness, and wanting nothing. So you see, this goes to explain to me a lot amongst the body of Christ. And I'm talking about the body of Christ, but I'm really trying to say Grace Tabernacle in a very nice way. We need to get together. I'm not talking about the dinners. That's nice. I'm not talking about the parties. That's nice. The lunches. That's nice, because we do need to get to know each other. But if we're not together in the spiritual realm, we're just not together. We're not together the way God created us to be. And if we're not careful with where we walk, with what we talk, the doors of this house will close. And whose responsibility will it be? Your leadership is meant to bring you a word. He preaches to you. He does like I did today. He gives you scriptures to look up. He's not a perfect man, but he's the one who took the responsibility. He's the one, he said many, many, many years ago, who signed the dotted line. Nobody else wants to do it. And we've seen people come and go. And I say we because I've been with this church since this church opened, and I've been at the warehouse for about 2 years, so I've been with them for a pretty good long time. And I've had people tell me, you're still at Grace? Well, God hasn't moved me. Where else would I go? I can't go someplace where I don't belong. I'd be in trouble. I just can't. I don't want to live miserably. I want to live the way God intended me to live, with the fullness and the joy that he's given me. You see, some of the things that we find is that we tend to pay attention way too much to man. I like listening to preaching like the next person. I do. But I have never been one to follow a superstar, a preacher, I don't care when Joyce Myers is coming to Florida. I really don't. I don't need to be at every preaching that she teaches. Do I like her preaching? Yes. Is she my focus? Absolutely not. We got kids in this church that need to be taught. I go on the third Sunday, and sometimes I switch with one of the young ladies that works with me over there. But I go on the third Sunday to kids' class. Our kids are vital to the lifeline of your house. This is your house. It's not just my house. It's not just his house. This is your house. This is where you come to learn. This is where you come when there's nobody else that you can talk to. This should be where you come to seek prayer. This should be where you come to find words of wisdom. This should be where you should be. We should be able to lean on one another. That's just the way it should be. Why? Because that's what God is talking about. He doesn't say we need to like everything you do. I need to like the way you dress or the way you talk, or, hey, you're not Spanish, so I can't really. He doesn't. God wants us to lean on one another. When we're able to lean on one another, guess what we're able to do? When we're able to walk the way we're supposed to walk, when we're able to latch on to one another, when we're able to support one another, when we're able to speak life instead of death to one another, guess what we'll be able to do? We'll be able to do, go out there and take the land like he told Jeremiah. And I've got news for you. There's no excuse. If you're too young, Jeremiah told him, but I'm but a youth. And he said, but it's me that's going to do. And if you're old enough, God never said you were retired unless you're 6 feet under. That's the only way you get to retire. You don't get to retire because you decided you saved your money, you got your pension, you had your fun, and now you're going to go do this and go do that and go do this. And I got news for you. If God has an assignment with you, don't you dare miss that assignment for no tea time. There's a bigger price to pay if you do. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a tea time. I'm not saying it's wrong to have fun. What I'm saying is that you better be very careful what every minute of your day and your time occupies. Whether it be golf, whether it be TV, whether it be even your own family. Sometimes you got to go do what you got to go do. And I can honestly say here that if I gave the microphone and passed it around, every single one of you have a testimony as to what has God done for you. Where he's brought you from. Some of the places and the things that he saved you from. I know I do. I got a whole bunch of them. So then my question to you is, what is keeping you from being obedient to the word of God? Why are we not having prayer time like we should with God? If you got your 30 minutes, that's nice. But your 30 minutes should turn into 45. And then it should turn into an hour, because I don't know about you, but when I get on my knees to pray, sometimes it's an hour and a half and the time has gone by and I don't even know where it went, because it doesn't even feel that way. You know what that's called when you get to that level? It's called relationship. If you neglected your wife, men, what would happen? Ladies, if you neglected your husband, what would happen? And if you are neglecting them, I suggest you step back and you start reviewing things. Because nowadays in this world, when you don't take care of what's yours, here comes the enemy ready to send somebody to take care of it for you. And it's happening in the church more and more. It's one of the saddest comments I could ever make, but it's the truth. And why? Because you're not united. You're not walking the way God commanded you to walk. We should never, ever be an emotional creature, and we should always come together in the Word of God. I just want to tell you that in 1 John 14:15, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So not only does God give you his son, but then he gives you the Holy Spirit. And when God gave you his son, he gave you everything. It hurt. And when you go on to read in the book of Jeremiah that we read about God talks to his people and he says, turn from your wicked ways. It says he's pleading with them. He's crying for them. I think it is a sad time when we can honestly say God's crying because I didn't pay attention. Because I don't take the time. And I know we got busy schedules. Trust me, I know. I take care. I help my kids take care of 2 grandkids. I help my parents out. I take care of them. I clean my mama's house. I got me a little part-time job. I am constantly doing. I got to cut my grass. It's almost an acre. It's not quite an acre. It's almost an acre. I understand what busy is. But when I don't take the time to spend with God, I feel dead or dying. Because once you've had a taste and you walk away, it's a real bad feeling. It really is. So we come in and we talk about, we talked about our prayers, we talked about our unity, we talked about our obedience, and let's talk about our worship. We want our worship to go up as a sweet aroma. It says it in the Bible, a sweet aroma to the nostrils of God. That's what we want. That's literally what you want. You want to hear from God? Follow the steps. Your prayer, your prayer life, your worship, and the coming together. You see, the fact is you don't have to like me very much. You really don't. But I'm a part of this church. I'm a member of this church. And if you're a member of this church, you still have to unite with me. And the only way to unite with me is to learn to love me. And I know I'm mean. A lot of people say I'm mean. I understand. That's okay. But they do. They say I'm mean. And when I was raising my kids, they told me I was a mean mama. I said, that's all right. They're going to be where I want them and nowhere else. That's the way to do it. You know? And it doesn't always work for everybody, but it worked for mine, so why change it? Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Sometimes I can't read my handwriting, I'm sorry. But that's Psalm 133. It says the Lord bestows his blessing. Isn't that what we look for? Even for our children, our children's children, we just want that to keep going down. We talk about the curses of life having an after effect, a generational from generational. Well, why not have the blessings of life have an after effect, a generational to generational? Why not? Why can't we speak it and declare it? Because without the word and without your prayer and without your commitment to God, without your communication with God, you have no authority. You can walk around with your Bible, but it's not going to do you much. Because you have to get to know who he is. You don't have to get to know who I am. You have to get to know who he is. And through him, everything else will come together. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's not enough to just come together. We have to pray. And I have news for you. Sometimes I've prayed for people without even knowing them, and just seeing them in church, their face shows up, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed without even knowing what they're going through. And I've come to them. I've given them a word. And it has been like, you don't know. And I'm like, I don't need to know. You know, don't be a person that tells everybody, oh, I'll pray for you, because you know that's not true. You know you're going to forget by the time the night is over, so why do it? Pray for them right then and there. Because I don't know about you, but when I get down on my knees to pray, to worship, let me tell you, God tells me, God shows me, he shows me a face, he shows me a thing, and those are the things that I pray in. I pray for this house. And yes, I pray for my leadership. And I pray for my pastors, all of them. I've had many pastors throughout the past, but this has been the longest that I've been in this house. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It doesn't say if you want to be saved. It says we must. That is the only way you're going to do it. But here's the thing. Those scriptures are great. They really are. But if we're not taking the time to grow and get to know God, what good are they? You know, I don't know if you people believe this, know this, or anything else, but the devil knows your Bible. And I'm going to tell you this. I remember when my son was 22 or 23 years old, I sent him to Virginia for an apprenticeship program. Because after getting accepted to two colleges for a free ride, he decided that 6 months before he was going to let me know he's not a book person. And he was not going to college. So I, very calmly, I was raging inside, I could tell you. I wanted to pick something up and knock him out, you know? But very calmly, I said, okay, you don't want to go to college. I have one question for you. And he said, what, Mama? I said, how are you going to eat? And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I've taken care of you all your life. I have worked 2 and 3 jobs sometimes. I have set myself aside. I have not dated. I've gone through counseling. I've put you guys through counseling so we could get through. I have raised you in the Word and in the house of God. But even the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So I asked him again, how are you going to eat? And he got mad and he went and walked away because that was all I was concerned with. A couple of weeks later, he was talking to Coach Sherman. My son was a football person and a basketball person. Any sport he could get his hand on, he was in. And he was talking to Coach Sherman, and Sherman found them this apprenticeship program. And they came down because they interview you, and only a certain amount of kids are accepted into this program. And they work with Northrop Grumman, which is now Huntington Ingalls, building missiles for the government and all that good stuff. And so the guy said, I'm afraid that if I give you this opportunity, you're not going to be able to cut the umbilical cord. And I said, when do you want them in Virginia? And so he looked at me and I said, I can cut the umbilical cord. I don't think you can handle what's coming, but that's all right. And I put him on a plane and we took him, we drove to Virginia. We moved some of his things. I made sure he had a bed, he had dishes, he had cups, he had a toaster oven and everything else. What my son did in Virginia was make a choice, and his choice was to become an alcoholic. So he called me up one day and he said, Mama, and I said, yes, baby. He said, I'm so ashamed of myself. The first thing I thought was he got a girl pregnant. So I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? And he said, I'm so ashamed I can't even talk about it. I said, well, what you call for? I mean, I was real nonchalant. I didn't let it get to me. I have this mode I go into to make sure that they don't mess with my emotions, you know? And I said, well, what you call me for? And he said, Mom, I wanted to tell you that I'm an alcoholic. Now, he didn't expect my response. 23 years old, my baby, an alcoholic. So I said to him, well, it's about time you knew, because everybody else knew. And he said, Mama, you knew I was drinking? I said, you think I don't know my son? I said, I knew you was drinking. Did you know you was drinking? So then he proceeds and he drags it on. I'm so ashamed. And I said, so what? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to quit being an alcoholic? Are you going to get up and walk how you're supposed to walk and talk? Or are you going to sit there and feel sorry for yourself? I don't do pity parties very well. And so he said, well, I talked with Isabel, this little girl. I told him not to move in with her, but he did. I talked with Isabel, and either she's going to take the apartment or I'm going to take the apartment. And then when I come out of rehab, she's got to find some place to go, and we're not going to be together anymore. I said, that's a start. But I'm going to let you know, Mama, I am not going to a religious place. I said, you don't need a religious place. You need God. So the first thing he had to do when he got to rehab, which was a rehab that allowed him to go to work and come home, the apprenticeship job he had covered the rehab. And so he did his rehab, and the first thing he was told, the first assignment he got was, you need to download the Bible onto your phone. And one of the things my son often asks me is, how do you go through what you go through? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, how do you go through what you go through? And I said, well, God. It's not easy. No, and it's even worse if you don't know him. I've been through some things. I've been in some places. I don't walk around bragging about them because I don't like to give the devil any more credit than what he needs or he deserves. That's not my place. But if you want to know what God did, I'm there. I can tell you. Because God took me from being a rejected, a beat up, a diagnosed. I've been diagnosed. I was diagnosed that by the time I was in my 40s, I'll be in a wheelchair. I want you to know that I'm 47. And I walk 2.5 sometimes to 5 miles. I have no problems with my legs other than the fact that, you know, we're getting old. Wear and tear, honey. That's the way it is. There's nothing you're going to do about it because the body wasn't created to last forever. It just wasn't. Each and every single person was born to live and to die. It's a biblical concept. Why we fear it, I don't know. Because we do get scared of death. And that's okay. But it's still going to happen. But I've been diagnosed. I've had a hysterectomy by the age of 25 because of a tumor. And I knew I wasn't going to have no more kids. I was very certain. I've lost 2 babies. I've lost 1 baby and I've aborted 1 baby. I've walked through some things. That's why all these people that get happy-go-lucky about abortion, it's not enough for you just walk out there and tell somebody not to abort their baby. Tell them what the solution is. Give them a solution. You can't just go do something like that and you don't know what they're going through. I knew what I was in. And I've been blessed to be given a vision and see that baby. Like if it was in real life. So I'm okay. Am I happy that I did it? Absolutely not. But back then, my thinking was, I got 2 kids and I'm in a bad relationship. I'm gonna bring another baby into a bad relationship? For what? What's gonna happen? So here is what I'm saying to you with all of that. You make choices. And we think that it's my choice and nobody's gonna tell me what to do. But here's the thing, people are watching you. So when you walk around saying, I'm a child of God, I'm blessed by the King, He's the Most High, you need to be careful with how you're walking and how you're talking. You really need to be careful with what you're doing. I went to Dress Barn. I don't know how much time I have, Pastor Gary. I went to Dress Barn with my daughter. I was going to my cousin's wedding in Texas. And I got a really cheap ticket. Isn't God good? I waited to the last minute and everybody was like, you better buy your ticket. And I waited to the last minute. I got a really nice ticket. Everybody paid $200 and $300. I paid $100. So I was like, okay. But I went to buy this dress for the wedding. And my daughter put it on Facebook. And I hate when she does stuff like that. But I said, I was getting dressed and I tried on all these dresses. And I fixed all my dresses the way they should be. And when I finished, I didn't put my shoes on yet, but I grabbed the dresses because I was going to put them back where I got them from. And the lady, the young lady that was helping us, she said, well, you don't have to do that. And I said, no, I know I don't have to do that, but, you know, I mean, it's okay, I could do it. And she said, that's my job. And I said, I understand what your job is. I'm just trying to be helpful. I don't want you to get mad about it. I'm just trying to be helpful. And so she took everything out of my hands and she held on to it and she started talking to my daughter. And she said, religious people come in here all the time, and you should see the way they act. And after they behave that way, they try to tell you about a God from 2,000 whatever years ago when they don't understand evolution. I was tying my sneakers and my head went up. And I finished tying my sneakers. I said, baby girl, I got to talk to you for a minute. Come here. I said, let me tell you what the Bible says about the Word of God, about God. You know, the evolution, it doesn't mention it. The Word of God says that He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. And I started talking to her and I said, I am very sorry for what the religious people have made you feel. I want to apologize. I said, but I want to talk to you about God's love. And I started talking to her. I must have kept her like 30 minutes. And then they were calling her. And I said, I don't want you to get in trouble, but I want to tell you about God's love. She was ready to fall apart in tears. And I said, I want you to know before you leave me that God loves you. And I said, and I want you to understand that everybody's at a different place. I don't want to say those religious people don't know God because I don't know. I just want to say that we're all on a different level. And it's a process. Just like it's a process to be a mom. Just like it's a process to come together. It's a process. And I am so sorry that you went through whatever you went through. But I want you to have a blessed day. And she laughed. I took my two dresses. I bought two dresses. And I went to get online and let her go because they were telling her what to do and I didn't want her to get in trouble. And my daughter writes on Facebook, does anybody's mom go out with them, blah, 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 and start preaching? I could have a service in Foot Locker. The fact of the matter is that your platform is everywhere that there's people. Your platform is even where there isn't people, because where you think people aren't watching, they're watching. They're watching you, even where there's no people. So I don't really know how to wrap up a service. I'm not good with that, but that's all right. I want you to know that if you need prayer, it's available. If you need to grow in your prayer life, it's available right here at Grace Tabernacle. If you need to learn about the Word of God, because the one thing that Pastor Gary does is teach, it's available. If you're not receiving it, it's a choice. And be very careful with your attitude, your emotional part. Because you never know if that was the day that God had a word for you and you didn't receive it because of the way you was behaving. And I say you, but I'm talking to me because I'm pretty bad. I can get pretty bad with all that. There's nothing here that I'm not saying that I'm not applying to me, that I haven't been thinking about, that I haven't been saying, what can I do better? So I'm not just here to preach it to you. I'm here to listen too. And I also heard this morning in the sermon. God doesn't speak to be heard. God speaks to be obeyed. And I thought about that today. And the reason why that is so true is because when you took that first, what we call baby step, when you was on the bottle, if you're still on the bottle, whatever, when you took that very first step and you said, he said, come as you are, and you said, here I am, he spoke. You heard. Your next step is to obey. So the very precious thing in life is your word, because it's God. If you're not in your word, you don't know who God is. No offense. If you get offended, that's okay. But you need to know who God is. It's not about what man is doing. It's not about how man is behaving. It's about who God is. And it's about being a support to each other. And it's about loving each other. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. I don't care what income bracket you come in, because if we think about it, Jesus loved the poor. That's where he spent most of his time ministering. And if you have money, that's awesome too, because God blessed you. You must have did something right to have his favor upon your hands and your feet throughout life. And that's okay too. So it's just kind of like God is love. Love is your focus. And if love is your focus, so is unity, so is obedience, so is prayer, and so is communicating with him. So if there's anybody here that wants prayer for something, anything, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You don't even have to talk about what you're going through. But if you need prayer for any kind of support, for anything, today is your day. And I'm encouraging you to grow in your relationship. If you was 5 and you still 5, it's time for you to be 6. The spiritual walk is just like being a child. When you was a baby, you couldn't crawl, you couldn't do anything. Then you started crawling. Then you started walking. Then you started running. And that's the way your spiritual life should be. Paul says to press in to win the prize. The only way you're going to do that is if you start taking the steps to win your prize. Because I can guarantee you, if you don't, you're not going to like what you get. And I'm telling you, we're in a time and an era where wrong is right and right is wrong. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to let you know that time's up. We're not at a time where we can say, I'll do that tomorrow. Because if your tomorrow doesn't come, you're going to be before the Father. And he's going to ask, what happened? It's okay to be a good person, but it's very important to be in the will of God. You could do good things and it not be the will of God. I don't care what it looks like. Make sure you're in the will of God. And the only way to do all these things, I tried to make one message out of one topic, but all these things came out. And it's not even the way I wrote it. Sorry, Jenny. It's not even the way I wrote it. It came out the way it was supposed to come out. So that's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. You want the Father to be pleased. It should be your heart's desire. And if it's not, then you want to start searching it out and making it happen. You just do.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Catalina.